Welcome back to Midday with Marcus Maben, delivered by Papa John's on 93.9 The Ville. Now, here's Marcus Maben.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Midday with Marcus Maben, 8150. 93.9 is the number. 93.9 is the station. And 3831, 93.9 is the text line. People, this was a last-minute audible. This was a, I don't want to say it's an audible because this guy's he's definitely a day one who's about to come on this show. But people, sometimes I hesitate asking for favors because sometimes you got to owe a favor. But this guy, I do not mind owing a good favor to. Courier Journal's very own Steve Jones. Thanks for joining me on Midday with Marcus Maben. What's going on?
I'm doing good, Marcus. Thanks for having me on, man.
No, absolutely. My pleasure. Now I'll jump right into it. There's an article that you wrote that's posted. I don't know if you wrote it today or you posted it today. I think about 7:30 in the morning. Make me feel good about this article where you have a comparison and some basically some opinions from Mike Vick versus Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, so, you know, just sort of looking for things right during the offseason. I just figured, with sort of the last draft behind us, whether to call some folks up, some draft analysts and stuff, and see where they their thoughts were on Lamar, because he is obviously an unconventional
yes.
NFL prospect. You know, I mean, he's a guy who has this crazy arm. He has obviously the fastest guy in a generation at that position, but that's not necessarily the prototypical pocket passer in the NFL. So I just was calling guys. And as I did that, I also decided it'd be good to try and get in touch with Vic,
right?
Because he is the guy that is most compared to Lamar. And I had talked to Vic once last season too about Lamar, and he had agreed that was a guy that he considers to resemble himself a lot. He was great. He was great to talk to. I'm actually going to try and put a podcast up on our site from the interview I had with him today. But he said that of all the players that have come through college football, he's the guy that Lamar is the guy that he considers to be the most like him. We hear a lot of Michael Vick comparisons over the years of any guy that's really a good dual threat player. But, Vick himself is a huge Lamar fan. He said, he views it as like records are meant to be broken.
Right.
And players are meant to, have people emulate them, and he feels like with Lamar, that's a passing of the torch of his style of play, and he likes to see it, because he feels, I think, and I agree, rightly so, he did revolutionize that position. He did make people think differently about playing quarterback. Maybe it wasn't always the most successful way,
right?
But he was a pioneer, I don't know, aside from the off the field issues, I wouldn't have a problem with him being a Hall of Fame candidate, he was so tremendous, and he likes that Lamar is carrying that torch and is playing that same style as him. And, hopefully maybe on some level we'll get to see Lamar do that in the NFL too, and someday.
Well, us talking with Steve Jones of the Courier Journal. Now, let me ask you this. It's kind of a two-parted question. The first part is, do you believe him when he says the records are meant to be broken? And the second part, a more serious part, does that help or hurt him every time his name is mentioned with a Mike Vick?
Well, I mean, I don't see – I think that it's an obvious comparison that the draft people are going to have, and they can look at it to be like, well, Mike Vick did have a successful career. I don't know if he didn't win a Super Bowl. I guess he didn't win an abundance of playoff games, but he was a long-time starting quarterback in the NFL who won a lot of games and was really successful. And and obviously at this point, Lamar has exceeded him as a college player. I think there's no doubt about that. All statistically, and clearly, having won the Heisman, he's already exceeded. And Vic has said as much. And I think that on that level, if you'd be like, well, if the starting point is Mike Vick, they have similar skills, they have similar limitations, which I guess would be their accuracy and their patience in the pocket and that sort of thing like that. I thought it was interesting. Mike Vick's career NFL completion percentage was what Lamar's was last year. So, I mean, that is about what Vick did. He was about a high 50% completion passer. And that's what Lamar has been at Louisville. Obviously, if Lamar could somehow get into the high 60s, which is what we've seen guys like Mariota and some of these guys recently do, then Lamar is absolutely a can't miss player, I think, in the NFL. But you know, if your floor is that you could be a player as good as Michael Vick, I mean, I think that's a tremendous feather in your cap.
Talking with Steve Jones of the Courage. Well, let me ask you this: why do you think Lamar Jackson is not getting credit for this really actually being his first year as a full-time starter, the Heisman Trophy year? You know, usually when players are developing or they're considered a project, you draft them based on the fact that they don't have a lot of experience. Like, why is there such a rush to put a ceiling on Lamar instead of a floor?
Now, I think that's a good point. I mean, you know, a guy like Trubisky, he was a first-year starter this past year, as I recall his career going. And he ended up going, you know, really high. And, I mean, who's a more accomplished college player? You know, I mean, nobody more so than Lamar. You look at guys that have been picked, you know, Blake Bortles and Paxton Lynch. And, yeah, I'm just trying to think
right.
of guys off the top of my head. You know, just some of these guys that were pretty good college players for a year or two. I mean, none of those guys were doing anything like on the level that Lamar did. But I guess it's just people have a hesitation. Because we've seen time and again, most recently with RG3, I guess you would say, you know, maybe with some of the step back that Cam Newton took this year, that you just really, it's going to be hard to win in the NFL if you have a quarterback that you're counting on to run the ball a lot, because that's just not how you win in this league. But, you know, I think what you say is totally true. I mean, he took a massive, I mean, an insane jump from his freshman to his sophomore year. I mean, I don't think anybody could expect he'll take the same level of jump this next year. But, I mean, even if he takes somewhat of a jump, he'll be on a completely different level. And I think that he deserves some credit that he is the youngest Heisman winner ever. And when you think about what the guy could be when he's, you know, only like 23 or 24,
right.
I think there's a lot of improvement, a lot of growth he could still have.
Now, talking with Steve Jones of the Courier Journal, around this time last year, if you remember, or I definitely remember, Deshaun Watson was kind of running away from any running quarterback comparisons. Like, he was known at first, you know, it was hard for him to shake that stereotype as well. Do you see that coming out of the Petrino camp, the Lamar Jackson camp? Like, we don't want to pigeonhole him into this continued running quarterback. Like, is there any control of that narrative coming out of University of Louisville?
I mean, I haven't seen that. You know, I mean, clearly what they're trying to develop him more as is in the pocket passing mode, because he's already, I mean, one of the greatest in the history of the game at the other aspect. I mean, that's just not what they really need to work on that much. But no, I mean, I can envision that he would, you know, of the spring practices that were open, I mean, he never ran the ball ever, you know, but I don't think that when it gets into a game, and, you know, you're playing Florida State and it's 24-28 in the third
right.
quarter and it's, you know, second and seven from the 30, you know, you put Lamar in the zone read and let him run.
Right.
That's what he does, you know? I mean, he's the best ever at it. So, no, I mean, I think Lamar considers himself a true quarterback. He wants to be considered a complete quarterback, and he's working really hard to get there. And I think some of the running stuff really comes easy to him. And of course, you're going to keep doing that. I mean, look at the Charlotte game, the first game of the year last year. I mean, all indications were they were going to come out and maybe not run Lamar as much last year. And, you know, he picked up 120 yards in the first quarter just because, you know, nobody can tackle him. It's not really like it's a crazy,
right.
Decision that they were going to just overtly just run the ball with him. It's just he's always going to be an effective runner on the college level. And, you know, but no, I mean, I think that it's fair to call Lamar a complete quarterback, but he just also is he's an insanely talented running quarterback.
Talking with Steve Jones of the Courier Journal. Now, Steve, I'm going to apologize because what I did, I'm going to feel like this is tactical. I brought you on the show and I softened you up with all these Lamar questions. Now, I need your honesty. You got beef with John Hale of the Courier Journal, because there's an article that just came out and it seemed to be kind of scathing towards the University of Louisville versus for its recruitment of local players. Can you kind of give us your thoughts on that whole East Coast, West Coast beef going on?
No, I have no beef at all with John. I mean, it was a totally legitimate story. You
right.
know? I mean, like, I think people had issues with the idea that why was the UK writer writing that story?
Right.
Tried to read into it. I mean, the way I understand it, you know, both those guys put out their lists. I've interviewed them both before, you know, when they were underclassmen. John was like, hey, I was going to call those guys because they both had UK left on their list. I was like, yeah, that's great. Yeah, do it. And, of course, if you're going to talk to a couple of Louisville kids about their recruiting and they had both just cut Louisville within the last week,
right?
That's a natural question you ask them. And they could have said anything, you know? I mean, they could have been like, you know, they recruited me great, but I wasn't that interested, or I wanted to get away from home, or whatever they could have said. I mean, they said what they said. They said very strong, candid comments. And of course, I mean, John was leading his story with what was the most notable thing that they said. I mean, that's the way I read it.
Right.
You know? And we got, you know, Louisville can't – obviously there's some issues with a story like that because you can't get the college's side of things. I mean, because they're not allowed to talk about it. But, I mean – you know, we pointed out in there that regardless of that's what those two kids think, they are recruiting a whole lot of kids in state. I mean, I think the 2019 class, they've offered 9 kids, counting Heron, and that's the most, I would say, by far that Petrino has ever offered in state,
right?
Since he's been back as coach. I mean, I think a couple years ago he only offered 1 or 2. You know, I don't think he ever really recruited Damian Harris a couple years ago, you know, who was the best player who's come out of state in the last 20 years.
Right. Now, see, I was just going to say, that's the side of the story that if I'm, you know, all University of Louisville supporters, that I would be dying to just get out to kind of balance out the story. But I agree with you, and thanks for
taking the bait. No, I mean, that was in the story, though. You know, I mean, that was in the story. So, I mean, I think it was fair, you know. I mean, I don't know those two kids' individual opinions is one thing, but I think that Louisville is recruiting the city and the state hard. I think that all evidence suggests it, but they're not evidently in the running for the two guys that are ranked number one in the state the next 2 years.
So Steve Rummage here, talking with Steve Jones of the Courier Journal. So another big elephant in the room question that's come up that's natural now. I mean, what do you think? I mean, nobody follows this kind of as close as you do. Is this a Trinity High School thing, or is it just a simple, hey, two players here that either we don't have room for, or we're loaded at the spot, or just we just don't think that they're fit for here?
I mean, I wouldn't read into it as a Trinity thing at all, you know? I mean, they just got Rajay Burns a month ago, you know? And they have, you know, Bonfons, one of the proudest Trinity graduates that has come through that place. So no, I mean, I would say it's an isolated thing if that's how you want to call it. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know exactly what their reasons were if they weren't recruiting those guys as hard. You know, I'm just sort of speculating here. If you look at Rondell Moore, who I think is great from the times I've seen him, I think he's really, really fast and really, really strong. And obviously he's earned all these major scholarship offers across the country. But they do have three other guys on the team that are sub 6 foot slot receivers. I mean, maybe they don't feel like they need a fourth. I don't know, you know? Maybe that's one thing with him. Maybe that was just not a need in the 2018 class. I don't know. Maybe that was not the case. I mean, they had him at camps and they didn't offer him as early as some other schools.
Right.
So obviously that for whatever reason, maybe they didn't value him maybe as high as some other places. Heron, I thought they were recruiting Heron hard. You know, I mean, that's been my take on it or observation of it, but maybe that's not how he felt. And I thought that he probably thought he was a good fit for a Grantham-style 3-4, you know, Malden,
right.
You know, Devontae Fields kind of position. And you know, I mean, I think he had a good rapport with Grantham, and maybe that was something that happened. You know, I don't know. I mean, I assume that they have been recruiting Heron hard throughout the whole process. But yeah, I mean, it's what the guy said, you know, it's what the guy said, and John published it correctly, and he published it in context. So there's definitely, you know, it was just an accurate article and a legitimate article, I think.
Thank you so much for not taking the bait on that Courier Journal beef. But no, in all seriousness,
I mean, there's no bait to take, no, you know, this is a legitimate story. It's what the kid said. I mean, I get that people would have something to, you know, would try and read more into it.
Yes.
But, I mean, it's just, Yeah. Call a kid for a recruiting update, and that's what they say.
Yeah, no, that was the point I was making. You know, speaking on behalf of always sensitive fan base, you know, the story kind of takes a life of its own when you read too much into it. And I will say this, speaking on behalf of the player, no player ever feels like the university is recruiting them hard enough. So, you know, that's always something you get out of the players. But let me ask you one more question about the landscape of football. Because there are so many, you know, highly recruited players, or it seems to be a big-time year, is there, like, momentum building in the local football circuit? I mean, is this something, like, you can look forward to? Or does this seem like, in your opinion, just a hot, you know, hot year or two?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, 2018 was a pretty typical year, I think. You know, there's a couple of good guys. You know, Rondale Moore is probably, I guess you would maybe call the Mr. Football sort of front runner. He's the more consensus four-star guy. So it's more of a standard year, I think, of not a ton of numbers out in the state. 2019 is for whatever reason has got just a ton. You know, I mean, there's the there's Heron, obviously.
Right.
Jacob Lacey from South Warren is a really, really great. I mean, Louisville's been recruiting him really hard, for my opinion. Defensive tackle who's you know, high four star. Brian Hudson is an offensive tackle from Scott County. He's a high four star. Milton Wright from Christian Academy. I mean, I think Louisville's definitely going to be right in the mix with him. Who's a you know, I would take maybe the early 2019 Mr. Football favorite, if there is such a thing,
right,
is a great player. You know, they've just offered this all-purpose back from Western Hills. There's a kid at Moore, J.J. Weaver. There's a Shonkel Knight Golf from Doss is another sort of defensive end and pass rusher. And I think that, you know, I mean, there's just a lot of guys. And there's a lot of guys in Louisville who are legitimate high-major players. And you know, I would think that Louisville is excited and thinks that they can get some of those guys. You know, that said, I guess they're not going to get Heron or Moore, but they could still end up with more Kentucky players in the 2019 class than they ever have under Bobby, I would think.
Well, Steve, if you weren't reading a list just now, that was the most impressive thing I have heard on radio today.
True. Yeah.
Right.
That was I forgot one. The Aiden Robbins from Manual is a running back. They've compared him to Michael Bush. I mean, his school is literally across the street from U of L. So he's visited recently. I mean, they should have a good chance with him too. You know. So I think that yeah, they've offered more guys than UK has in 2019. I think almost certainly.
Mm. No, that's interesting.
We'll be looking for that article, Steve. All right.
I mean, it was in the article the other day. But perfect. I mean, it was in there. So.
Well, Steve, listen, you're way too smart to be slumming with us, but I appreciate you giving us your time. We'll have to do it again, especially the closer we get to the actual football season. Nobody sounds more excited than you do.
All right, I appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, guys. Definitely. Talk to you soon. Steve Jones of the Courier-Journal. Boy, is that an encyclopedia of information.
I still don't like it.
I'm listening, Steve.
I don't like it.
I'm listening, Steve.
I don't like it. I don't like stay in your lane. Right? Y'all ain't got enough going on in recruiting.
Say what you feel, Steve. Speak your mind on
this. I mean, you don't have enough going on in Kentucky Wildcat football recruiting.
But Steve Jones just backed them up.
Yes. Because they're in that profession.
Because they're coworkers.
They're coworkers and they're in that profession. And I'm not taking a task, Steve Jones.
Right. For backing him up.
For backing him up. I mean, look.
Yes, Steve, just kill our guest.
We appreciate Steve Jones.
Gave us our time.
And seriously, he's one of the best guys when he calls in. I mean, he really takes care of us. He does good stuff. But I just don't like it. That's my opinion. I don't like it. That's why I'm on the radio, to give opinions. I don't like the Kentucky beat writer writing stories on Louisville recruiting. I don't see. I mean, it would be interesting and I guess I should have to ask Steve how many stories has he wrote about Kentucky recruiting? I mean, and especially when the story is and the guy, look, here's the thing. John Hill wasn't just bashing Louisville the whole time. I mean, he put
right
a lot of stuff in this. So this is
Steve being fair for a couple seconds.
This isn't go at the Kentucky beat writer on the Courier Journal by any means, because I mean it was a
personal sensitivity.
It's just my personal thing is what's the point of that? What's the point? I mean, that don't you have a team to ride for? Like, why is that a story?
Especially when they've offered as many as they have.
Yes. I mean, and that's what I don't like. I mean, I don't know. And then you use the Chris Vaughn quotes, who's a former player here. I mean, he sure didn't.
Kind of, what do you call it? Clickbaitish with the quote?
Yeah. And I was listening on Drew Diener this morning. He was playing the interview from yesterday. And I mean, he backtracked on that. So,
or it didn't come across with the same context.
So maybe there needs to be, maybe there needs to be another story wrote with Chris Vaughn saying, would you like to kind of switch the words around a little bit? I mean, that's my point.
Yes.
You know, I don't like that, especially when Louisville's had so much success recruiting locally.
Ooh.
So much success.
Sensitive Steve.
Recruiting in the state. Well, you're taking my team to task for things. It's like, they got a ton of Louisville kids running around here.
Yeah, that's their strong point, not their weak point.
Yeah, I mean, what? So what? Two kids from Trinity, they just didn't want.
Yeah, like you almost say the article should have been, what's your problem that Louisville isn't recruiting you like everybody else?
Louisville's got,
that may say something more about you than it does their recruiting.
Louisville's got 12 wide receivers. 8 of them are over 6'3". What, they don't need another receiver. I mean, what do you want me to tell you? I mean, so, yeah, no, they didn't come and see me enough. Well, yeah, they're probably not going to.
Would you agree with my opinion that all recruits don't think they're getting recruited?
Of course, yeah. I mean, no, that's an obvious.
Like,
I mean,
Jalen was so sensitive when Charlie Strong finally, called for a meeting. It was like,
No, that's fair.
I was sure you would call.
And then that's fair.
About time.
That's fair. But
and with all that being said, he still would have came here.
Of course.
How funny is that?
But my thing is,
I'm gonna be mad, but I'm still going to Louisville.
is okay? Are those coaches or whatever or whoever is upset about this are probably the same ones that think we should have took DeMarcus Smith over Teddy Bridgewater.
Ooh.
Well, maybe we should have did that because he was local.
Were people saying that?
Yes, at the time, people
were saying DeMarcus, Steve.
And that's not a knock on DeMarcus Smith, but I mean, they say, you should have took
DeMarcus Smith personally.
I do too. Him too. I mean, no, I do. I mean, he's
but his career would have went different had he came here.
Oh yeah, no, I think he would have been good here. I will right. let I me say gonna, that. I think I he would have been a good player here, but I don't think he'd been Teddy. So
nobody's Teddy.
That's my point. So that's what I'm saying. I mean, at the same things, you go, oh, well, we should have took. You know, why don't we take this guy and. Instead, well, you know what? Teddy was a better player. I don't know what to tell you. You take Teddy.
Or a better fit. And this time,
you take the other receivers. You take the other. You know what? Quite honestly, going into that Bama game next year, we don't need another freshman defensive end. We need to hit the JUCO market. We're losing a lot on the front end of that defensive side of the ball. We need to hit JUCOs. We need to hit players that can come in and play. You're playing Alabama in game one. You need to clean up that. And you know what? Right now, Stephen Heron just wasn't what you needed. Get over it.
Steve, I'm really glad you're my partner. You're really good at what you do,
man. Thank you.
Midday with Marcus Maben. Quick commercial break. 8150. 93.9 is the number on 93.9 The Ville.
My friend. Feel is their appointed duty. They keep trying to tell me, all you want to do is use me.
Welcome back to Middays with Marcus Maben, delivered by Papa John's on 93.9 The Ville. Now, here's Marcus Maben.
Welcome back. Midday with Marcus Maben. 8150. 93.9 is the number. 93.9 is the station. People, we got to run to a quick audible. Hey, callers, hang on a couple of seconds. Let me make this public confession before we go to the phone lines. I burnt out that Use Me Up song to death. It made me sick to hear it, right? Give me something, right? Just something has got to get me going. Because Use Me Up wasn't going to work.
Yeah. Feel it.
Anything.
Okay. Gets it going.
Anything.
Some 2 Chainz?
I mean, Be careful with that. Yeah,
I was going to turn it down.
I was going to say.
When you ask for
that's
something
perfect,
that
man.
Quick,
that works.
You know, I got to jump on it.
I got to jump to these phone lines. Again, 8150-939 is the number. Feel free to jump in. Priest, thanks for holding on 93.9. What's on your mind?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
Nothing much.
Rummage, man, I love you, man. I love your passion, man. I love you. I love the University of Louisville. But I'm one thing I got to say. You have to recruit the number one players in your city. You have to. Because Kentucky start getting them, and you don't recruit out of your own backyard, you shift things the wrong way. You have to be – you have to get them. And then I have one word, two names, Derek Anderson, Rajon Rondo. They did not get recruited by Louisville, and look what they did. We have to recruit in our own backyard. You have to keep them. You have to keep your relevancy in the city, because you already have Kentucky fans here. You keep your relevancy in the city. You keep the people that's Louisville fans. Like some of them people, they got cousins and aunts, and then they change to Kentucky fans. If they go to Kentucky, and then not only that, we see them once a year, and they're our rivalries. And I hate to see the number one recruit that's from Louisville, that's at Kentucky, playing for Kentucky, whooping our behind.
Priest, do you know what year Derek Anderson came out?
94 or 95.
94,
yeah.
I appreciate the call. I got to make a point here. Brian? Could you bring up the roster of 1994 at the University of Louisville? Bring up the roster as quick as you can, please. Because this is the situation that we were always running into. When a recruit goes somewhere else and plays well, right? You forget what was on the table, right?
You ready?
I'm not positive, but if we talk about recruiting class, we're still talking about DeJuan Wheat, Jason Osborne, like Chick Rogers around this time. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you want to hear the freshman class for that year?
Yes.
The freshman class for that year was DeJuan Wheat, Bozak Smith.
Who was the McDonald's five-star?
Alvin Sims, Matt Simons, and Jason Osborne.
Pretty good.
Dude.
Yeah.
Priest, I feel you. But if you got DeJuan Wheat at the point and you got Jason Osborne at the two, do you know that Derek Anderson, he and I are the same size about, you know what I'm saying? He may be a half inch taller than me, right? I've stood next to Alvin Sims, right? And there it's three human beings
put in one. He's incredible, even still.
And his athletic ability, I mean, I'm sorry, he could jump higher than Derek Anderson. Probably run faster. Couldn't handle the ball as well. Couldn't shoot
as
well.
Right.
But was a better defender.
Absolutely.
Would we all agree with that? Absolutely. Is that a national agreement? And I love D.A.
Oh, yeah. Right. Oh, yeah. Oh, he can ball.
This ain't nothing. But I'll just throw those two people right there. Those three guys. DeJuan Wheat, Jason Osborne, and Alvin Sims. And then you got a five-star recruit out of and a resident 93.9 host, Bozak Smith, out of Peoria, and Matt Simons, right?
Yeah. And now
Derek was the odd man out on that one. Sorry.
And now move ahead a touch, because I feel you too, Priest. But Rajon Rondo, yeah, it's Sebastian Telfair saying if I'm breathing,
I'm going to the University of Louisville.
The man was having a movie made after him. He's a New York point guard legend, was the top point guard in the country.
Legend.
So that, and let me one more thing too.
I touched the button with you on because, this one too.
Well, I get him. But Charlie Strong acted like the city of Louisville didn't exist outside of a man named James Quick, and he beat the crap out of Kentucky. So I don't think that you can say, well, it's a direct, because I'm with you.
And ironically, the city's more mad at James Quick than any football player from that path, from that recruiting class.
That's what I'm saying. I'm with you. I want the local kids. I like the local kids here. But
that always goes first. Like I feel you.
But at the end of the day, I mean, you can't just. I mean, I don't think you're ignoring the city of Louisville and ignoring the top kids. I mean, look, Stephen Heron's not. I don't think Stephen Heron was going to come here anyway. So, I mean, you know,
every kid wants to be overwhelmingly recruited by their local university, especially. You just want to wear the gear and make it look like they gave you
right,
the gear.
Right. Yeah, right? No, 100%.
Like, that's what recruits do. You don't call them every day like somebody else calls. You don't think they love you. Cuz no. It's a love fest.
And I agree. I agree 100%. So that's the only thing I kind of go there, man. I'm not.
Yeah, Priest, like, you got J.O. that runs the two.
Yeah. Yeah.
J.O. Derrick Anderson. Hey, results be damned.
Yeah.
If that was your choice.
I think if Louisville has a spot and there's a local kid that's good and they say, hey, we can afford to take this guy here, then I think they will, on the basis of he's a good local kid. I think this is a scenario. No, if they have a spot. No, hear me out. If they have a spot, if it's like, we're not going to, okay, you're as good as anybody else we're going to get, and we have room here. Maybe we are overloaded at receiver, but you're a four-star kid. You want to come here. We're going to go ahead and take you. I think they'll take him. But this is a scenario where we don't have a spot.
I don't know if I agree with you on that
one. No, that one I won't be buzzed on. I think you'll I think you'll take a local kid. If you have a spot.
Well, try to be open-minded on this
one. Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
We have this conversation before. You've agreed with me, Steve.
Yeah.
Three-star Miami Western High School, Northwestern High School.
Absolutely.
Versus four-star local. The development of the Miami Northwestern kid is normally much further along.
Yeah. No, that's fair.
Because these kids are, coming from some serious, spots. So you don't think Louisville would say, they're ranked the same or they're about the same?
No, I think if they're ranked the same and the kid, if you got a four-star here, a four-star receiver here in your backyard, a four-star receiver, I mean, I think
they would take the Miami kid. I think that's how recruit works. Let's move right along. Ken on two. Ken.
Thanks for joining me on 93.9.
Good morning. What's on your mind?
Long-time listener, first-time caller. Love you guys. Love the show.
Appreciate it.
I agree with Steve 100%. Any L1C4 fan who does not read that article with an open mind and see that, who is this guy writing this article, man? It's a slam on us. It's exactly what it was intended to be. They take every shot they can get to try to make us look like the bad guy, These recruits, 100%, I would feel like we didn't have a spot for them. We told them maybe they could come. We've lost several guys to big-name colleges just because we've already filled their position, and they weren't willing to either come on their own until we had a spot open up. You know what I'm saying? It's the same old grind. You let a slow news day, what do? You put in an article from the UK beat writer to slam U of L on the slow, And that's all I really got to say. I love the show. It's great listening to you guys. But I agree with Steve 100%. One other thing, a kid from Miami, a three-star kid from Miami, unless we have a really good four- or five-star kid here in the state, he's a much better, talented player. The facts have shown that over the years, year in, year out. Kids from Miami and that Florida area are just better prepared.
Isn't that uncomfortable to say? Ken, isn't that uncomfortable to say?
It is, but that's just the way the nature of the beast. Why would everybody in the country go to get kids from Florida if there wasn't some reason behind it? I love the show. You guys go ahead. I'm going to get out of here. I had to stop in traffic, pull over to the side because I want to tell you that. But I love the show. Keep on keeping on.
I appreciate that. We appreciate it, man.
I
actually used to work with Ken at the golf course. So
nice.
Wait a minute. Work for or work with?
We worked together.
Okay.
We worked together.
look, you always got to massage that one.
No, he didn't work for me. I didn't work for him. We worked together for somebody else.
That's right. We were teammates. Go ahead.
But this is kind of what I'm saying, just to kind of to the point. It says, and this is from the article. And again, John Hale, not attacking John Hale.
Right.
John Hale wants to come on here and talk with us. Absolutely.
We got no beef.
But this is part. It says Trinity junior defensive end Stephen Heron, the state's number one prospect in 2019, didn't include Louisville in a top 10 list with the top 10,
right?
Good schools.
Yeah.
And Kentucky. The very next thing, it says Wagner, senior defensive back, Jarius Brents a four-star recruit and the top 2018 prospect in the state, according to Rivals, is expected to release his own top 10 list soon and will likely include Kentucky on it. Okay. Well, he will probably likely include Louisville on it too. But that wasn't put in there. So that's where I say, hang on now, time out. That seems, that's where I say, I don't like it. I don't like it when you say, hey, man, this kid didn't include Louisville. Hey, and you know, when this kid puts his list out, Kentucky's going to be on it. Yeah, well, Louisville will probably be on it too. So, I mean, just make sure we add, you know, make sure we add that. That's where I say, that's where I say I'm not comfortable with it even still. I don't like you writing the article about our recruiting.
Right.
So that's kind of my thing.
Moving right along. Darren, thanks for joining us on 93.9. What's on your mind?
Black and red till I'm dead. It's still a great day to be a Cardinal fan. I don't care what happens. Listen, two quick things. I'll be quick here, guys. This thing goes way back to the late 60s, 70s, beginning with me, and I'm calling out. I'm taking names. They've always had an axe to grind with Louisville because they don't like them. And that's Billy Reed, Rick Bozick, Pat Forty, I'll never forget him digging around in the dumpster trying to find out stuff on Louisville. People act like that never happened. It happens. All these writers, even the Courier Journal, all of them has an agenda against the University of Louisville, and it all starts from Lexington. They just hate Louisville. That's just the bottom line. That's the reason we got to be black and red till we're dead and fight it and just keep doing what we're doing. Second thing, that caller previously about Derek Anderson and Rajon Rondo, you need to do a little bit more digging, but Derek Anderson was offered a scholarship by the University of Louisville, went to Ohio State first, and then Rajon Rondo was so tipped because it was Sebastian Telfair recruitment. Louisville, Patino actually offered him his junior year, and Rajon Rondo wouldn't take it. So when Telfair came along, he took that scholarship. So it's not like Louisville's not recruiting these guys. They just didn't land them.
And I mean, appreciate the call. And in hindsight, Marcus, it's fair to say – I mean, yeah, if you say, Steve, right now, who'd you take, Rondo or Telfair? Well, I mean, yeah, I would have recruited Rondo harder. I'd have took Chris Lofton in that class, too, by the way.
Tennessee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kid played in Mason County. I mean, shredding fools.
No disrespect, I mean, but in hindsight, Bozak Smith, I'm taking your scholarship for Derek Anderson.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. I mean, look, in hindsight,
he's
sure.
He's going to be so mad.
Sure. You know,
Matt Simon, you my guy, too. You're a resident caller. You're a resident listener. I'm taking your scholarship for Derek Anderson.
And I'm sure there's a few local kids you could go back and go, in hindsight, well, we probably wouldn't have took him.
Right.
Works both ways.
Right. Who got over there?
Benji.
Benji, what's going on? Thanks for joining us on 93.9. What's on your mind?
What's happening? So here's a couple things I haven't heard anybody mention, and I kept thinking I would. So during Bobby's first tenure here, we all as Louisville fans pumped our chest about recruiting Florida and like having more players out of Florida than anybody. With that said, I love my city, and I love the high school football and sports here, and I try to, you know, support. But I don't care where you're from. I want the best talent that works with our system. With that said, something that article didn't mention was the fact that Bobby went into UK's recruiting backyard, Ohio, and snagged their star recruit, Yeast. I mean, I'll tell you, hey, if that's the best talent, I'll take him. I don't care where he's from. I mean, that's just something that article didn't mention. We might not be recruiting Louisville that hard. Not this year. I'm sure they have their eye on a few people, but this year they decided they wanted your number one recruit. That's all I got. I'll holler at y'all and listen.
Listen, appreciate the call.
I actually, I love Benji. I think Yeast was Indiana kid. It's close enough, though.
I was going to say tomato, tomato. Who we got close over enough. Here, Steve? My vision. I don't have x-ray vision over here.
Keith,
thanks for joining us on 939. What's on your mind? Hit that radio, Keith.
I got to tell you, I think my take on this thing is, and I don't read the Courier Journal. I don't listen to the reporters. When you guys put them on, I turn you off until they're gone. I can't stand them because they're always trying to bash U of L one way or the other, and they don't fairly bash anybody else. But I think the angle that they're doing on this one is because the UK beat writer is trying to make us look in the eyes of the recruits in Kentucky that, look, Louisville's not going to look at you. They're going to go outside the state first. So, you know what? Kentucky's recruiting these guys out of Louisville. They're recruiting them other places. So don't even think about Louisville. And that is my take on it. And Courier Journal just drags right along in it because they're not doing anything, any favors for us. and very rarely do.
Rent, I appreciate the call.
I don't know that I'm going to necessarily go straight at the Courier, even though you know my stance on some of those things. But I have friends over there. So
thanks for embarrassing me in front of my guest Steve Jones, everybody.
But yeah, we love Steve. We love Jeff.
He's
going to
block me now.
But I know.
Yeah,
come
Marcus,
on, man. Don't block us.
Call me again.
But one thing I do say,
Brian,
yeah, no,
you got to call him from now on.
I think that's a fair argument to say, look, yeah, of course Kentucky wants to put out the narrative there. I mean, that's the way they did against Charlie. You remember when Ace Wells, when Louisville took Brandon Radcliffe over Ace Wells?
No, I don't remember the Ace Wells recruitment, Steve. That's why you're good at what you do.
Okay, perfect then. So how aggravated, I mean, I remember him at the press conference being like, well, if you don't want the Louisville kids, we'll go somewhere else. I mean, he ended up going to Western, not Kentucky. Right. But I mean, like, that, yes, I think that is a narrative that they would like spun out there. So go ahead.
Yeah, like right. Everybody wins,
and there's good talent here.
Everybody wins. The conversation of football, sure, is fun. You know, the recruiting people. There's always a natural recruiting anxiety when you talk about local versus outside players.
Of course,
like that's a fact. Course. I was recruited. I'm telling you, anybody around my area, Tennessee didn't call me enough. Vanderbilt didn't call me enough. Austin Peay didn't call me enough. You know, Murray State, you know, anybody, like, sorry, that's how it works. And my parents and my teammates and everybody in the community who thinks I'm the best player that ever played all think that I should be getting bombarded by the local schools.
Yeah, and I mean, tell me the last time Louisville had a team that didn't have a stud from local.
Every single year.
Steve, every single year.
You got to take
it. Jared.
Jared, thanks for joining us. What's on your mind?
Hey, guys. Well, just a quick response to that article. So, first thing is, you know, regarding Chris Vaughn. So from what I understand, he's from the East Coast originally, went to Notre Dame, transferred to Louisville to play under Bobby, and lives here now, chose to live here, set up his business here. So I don't buy, and I didn't even in the article, even in his quotes, I didn't hear anything that he resented Louisville in any way. If anything, I mean, it's somebody who is not from here, who's chosen to not only go to college here, but set up his business and his life here. Look, here's the thing. I think it's important that Louisville really has a good grasp. You know, I know the other callers mentioned how good Florida recruits are, but I think it's really important that Louisville has a good grasp on their backyard. I think that successful football programs always do. But the 2017 class, you know, especially in Jefferson County, was very weak. And the 2018 class, the way it reads to me from that article is just it's a personal thing with these guys. You know, they didn't, again, like you're mentioning, they didn't feel like they got enough attention. I didn't really even have a problem with the article because, if anything, maybe it just alerts these guys. It gives the recruits who have already been, you know, who are still in play, but, it's almost like reaching out almost. I mean, they're basically saying, you know, oh, man, it was my dream school, but I just didn't feel like I was wanted that much. I mean, it almost gives them an opportunity, and if they don't want them that much, then they don't have to do anything about it. And if they do, you know, they could recruit them harder or you know, get the next guys. But point being, I didn't really have a problem with the article, and I think, if anything, it might work to Louisville's advantage, and I definitely don't think Chris Vaughn has a problem with Louisville.
Right. No. Listen, I absolutely agree with you. I mean, listen, everybody wins. Chris Vaughn, you know, the story gets out there, the narrative gets out there, the recruit's name gets out there. And let's not forget about this. I mean, this is recruiting is a big time sport, right? In itself. The idea that Louisville just throws out scholarships is something I don't want floating around. I don't want Louisville just throwing out offers because a kid's good and he's from the area. Like I would have when I was involved in the recruiting circuit, you know, the high school part of it. But as a University of Louisville, you know, alum spokesman, I want my product to remain high standard. You know, like, listen, you know, we don't just offer everybody local.
Fan in me says, I mean, you're looking at a borderline four-star, like a four-star receiver that's saying, hey, that was my dream school. And Louisville saying, look, man, we just ain't got room, man.
Right.
We're loaded.
How does that feel?
That feels good for me.
Even if it's at their local recruit's expense. I mean, we know how that feels. Like that's the thing, too. We're having this discussion, and we need people to know that we have been that recruit that hasn't, you know, that hasn't got recruited by your 100% dream situation.
Absolutely.
So while we have empathy for that, it's L1C4.
Yeah, that's how we do. Trying to win games, man. Madison.
Maddie, thanks for joining me. What's on your mind?
I've actually come to agree with you today, Marcus.
What?
I totally get you on the whole empathy thing, feeling, because I went to middle school with Quentin Snyder for a couple years. And when he committed to Illinois, it was like, kind of like, dang, like I really wanted that guy, you know, just because I knew him and he was a local kid and I really wanted him to play, you know, for my team. Right. But then when he finally decided to come to Louisville, it's like, I got to tell you, I love watching him play and watching his progression. I mean, I love watching him, Ray Spalding, every local kid that comes through. It's just something about it. But I got to agree with you about talking about football specifically, especially with the relationship that Charlie Strong came in with coming from Florida. Those kids are just, they're just better prepared. And if we've got a spot for a four-star kid from Louisville or a four-star kid from Florida, I'm sorry, but I got to take the four-star kid from Florida. As much as I love my four-star from Louisville, the hometown kid, and I love watching them play. I loved watching James Quick play, but I've got to go with the better prepared and the more talent to be able to keep my team, especially in recent years, in the running for a championship.
Absolutely. Yeah. Drop the mic, fair. Madison.
That's fair.
She's taking you to task, Steve.
Yeah, I mean, no, she makes a lot of good points.
Right. Hey, right.
You make a lot of good points, and I'm going to analyze those points.
Right. Period.
So,
sorry, Steve.
And we'll come back.
You're loose.
We'll talk. Let's get Philly Carl in here.
Philly Carl, what's going on?
Hey, man, what's going on with y'all? Man, look, I agree with the one caller, man. The Courier Journal is making it seem like they don't go after Louisville players, but they do recruit Louisville players. You know, they just get them late sometimes. Shout out number 24, D. Sutton, so big as you know. But one more thing, Marcus, you said something earlier, man, that I don't even think nobody caught, man. They had me in the vehicle laughing, man. You yelled, what did you yell? You said, my name is my name. Bro, right. Even catch that, right. Man. So y'all have a good one, man. But you know, like I said, we recruiting Louisville, man. 24 D7, man. We doing it big this year. I'll let y'all tomorrow.
I appreciate the call, but you get the point there. There's the recruiting element. There's the local element. Everybody takes it personal. When, you know, nobody feels like Louisville recruited Quentin Snyder hard enough.
Of course,
nobody feels like Raymond Spalding got recruited like he should.
Yeah.
You know, you want those guys to, because you want to win with those guys. But trust me, if you lose with locals, a little bit of losing with locals.
There's not a bigger advocate either for local high school sports than me and you.
They're turning into us, I mean, into go get Florida for all your players.
Yeah, I mean, we are totally on. I'm just saying this is
go get all Florida players and just let Redmond quarterback them all.
Exactly. So I mean, that's what I'm saying. I mean, we're the biggest advocates out there for it, and the thing is, the reason why I don't have a problem with these two players in specifically is because Louisville does recruit a ton of local kids.
I know.
I mean,
let's get these two before you.
No, we're out.
We're done.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, that's kind of the point. I mean, they are loaded with local talent right now. So that's why I'm not going to jump on this fight for two kids, man. No, they don't fit.
They're going to be so mad at you. Who? Those kids, they're going to hear about us today.
I mean, okay, you don't fit.
You're going to say, get in the gym, fellas.
No, they're in the gym.
Get in the lab.
I've watched videos of Rondell Moore. I mean, and he's an impressive kid. His workouts are impressive.
But your belief in the system supersedes all.
You'll be good at Texas. And I won't be guy going, oh, see, you should have offered him. No, he's going to be a good player in Texas.
Who sounds like that, Steve?
Whoever. I don't know.
Oh, you should have offered him.
But we're going to be good, too. So we're all right.
Oh, we're going to be great.
We're good.
We're good.
We're good.
People, as always. Was it good for you? Like it was for us.
It was good.
Steve, smoke a cigarette.
I will.
That was really, really good. Midday with Marcus Maven. As always, 10 to 12. 8150 is always the number. 38, 31, 93. Now is always the text line. 939.